1 John 1, verses 5 to 10, but including chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Father, we just want to firstly thank you for Faith. Thank you for who she is. Thank you for her life of following you, her love of you, her study of you. And Lord, as she preaches out your word, open our hearts that we may receive what you want to speak to each of us individually. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Many of you know and were praying for me. Thank you very much. I had a small operation on my eye a few days ago, so I wasn't sure if I would be able to be here, and also I wasn't able to read for a day or two, so it was difficult to prepare. But Roger, who is here anyway, you know, said, well, if you dry up, I'll take over. So there you go, guys. And also, Steve will also take over, so that's fine. Actually, I really wanted to share something of this because I believe this is a beautiful passage that we have this morning, and it's so often been, I've taken it into my own life and acted on the truth of it, as we shall see in a moment. But first of all, the whole thing about God is light is beautiful. I was thinking of a guy I knew many years ago. He was a very sincere Christian and part of an evangelical free church. And he had a great desire to see a wayside pulpit built on the front of the church so people could read a message as they went past. And he got permission to do it. And he built it all himself. It took him quite a time to put blocks in place. And then the message he chose to have on there was God is love. And he said, well, it's on the bus route. People will go past and they'll read that and they can see that God is love. And that was really lovely. But about a few years later, they had a new pastor. And this new pastor was not happy with this wayside pulpit or with the message it proclaimed. Because he said, no, we shouldn't be saying God is love. We should be telling people God is light. So they need to repent of their sins. Which maybe they wouldn't have read the bit about repentance after that anyway. And I remember hearing about this because this man was a bit grieved because they actually literally removed the message. Some Christians are a tiny bit nitpicking, don't you think? Do you think that? Do you ever think that quietly to yourself? Well, I do. Anyway, because of course John does say that God is love and he also says that God is light. So both are absolutely true. But anyway, I think this particular pastor was concerned that people might just feel God is love, so you can do as you please. But actually, if you get close to God, you find you cannot do as you please. Is that not true? So he needn't have worried. But anyway, it reminded me of that as I looked at this. I think one of my favorite hymns for many years was, Roger and I were talking about this morning, was that beautiful hymn, Eternal Light. I don't know if any of you know, it's an old hymn, so it's these and thous, inevitably, but Eternal Light, Eternal Light, how pure the soul must be. when placed within your searching sight, it shrinks not, but with pure delight can live and look on thee. The spirits that surround your throne may bear the burning bliss, but this is surely theirs alone, since they have never, never known a fallen world like this. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. These prepare us for the sight of holiness above. The sons of ignorance and night may dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love. Here we have light and love brought together again, which John never intended them to be separated. God is light, and we can dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love. And I was thinking about light. I was thinking about throughout the pages of the Bible, light, the theme of light is constantly recurring, isn't it? Right from page one of the Bible, when God is creating the earth, and it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Because God is light. It's not that light is God, it's God is light. He's full of light. And when he said, let there be light, there was light. And I believe that's something we need to hear over our lives in so many ways, as some of the testimonies were evidencing. We need light. We need light. Lord, how should we pray? How should we act? What should we do here? Lord, we need light. And God says, let there be light, and there was light. And I found that to be true in my life. I don't know about you. I was thinking, this is a slightly humorous story. It's a true story, of course. But I used to be on the leadership team of a big Christian event for many years. And I remember I had an area, as well as speaking at the event, I had an area of responsibility to watch over. And volunteers would come and, you know, they would sign on and come for it. And what actually happened here was there were four young people who were all like stewards coming to serve at the event, and they were sharing the little accommodation. They had different bedrooms, obviously, but they shared a little kind of chalet type thing. And so they were there together. Well, one of them on the very first morning came to the team, came to the one of the leaders of the team, and then she came to me to say they'd had some money stolen. Actually, they'd had it stolen, they said, on the very first few hours that they were there, because she said she had gone into the bathroom, which they all shared, and she had left her bag, her handbag, out on the table, and her purse was in it with about £100 of money in it. She said when she came out of the bathroom, she didn't notice at first, but then she realized that her bag had been disturbed, and she found this money was missing. So she reported it, because actually this was quite a long while ago, so that was a lot of money then. And so she reported it and was very distressed. And so I was called in as a sort of, you know, oversight person. But the leadership of the whole event said to me, we actually have a plainclothes policeman on site, a detective, and we're going to ask him to interview, because it seemed almost impossible it was anyone other than these three other young people who were in this accommodation together. So I had the interesting experience of sitting down with this police detective in plain clothes, of course, to question these three. And, you know, he was pretty tough, I can tell you, obviously dealing a few times with criminals. The first person was a young woman, and we both concluded very quickly, or he did, that it certainly wasn't her. He questioned them. And then the second person was the young guy, and the policeman really did take him apart a bit, you know, as they do if you've ever watched these detective programs. You know, they can be very tough. And I'm sitting there thinking, it isn't him, it isn't him. I was sitting there thinking, he's innocent, please don't put him through the mill. But anyway, and so at the end of it, the policeman said, okay, you can go now, we'll call you again if we need you. And as he went, I said, we're praying for you, don't worry about it, it's all going to be okay, don't worry. Because I absolutely was convinced he was innocent. And then I thought, perhaps somebody else had come in to the accommodation, because it had an outside door, while they were, you know, all occupied and had taken this money. But we had the third person then, was another young woman. And we sat down, and the guy began to question her. And within literally about a minute or two, I thought, oh, we have the person here. And I could feel it. Now, how could I feel it? I don't know. But it was like, we do try to live in the light and we do pray about things. And I just absolutely knew that this person was not telling the truth from the beginning. And he kept asking her questions and she answered them and it all seemed totally straight. No, no, of course, I never saw this, never did this. And it went on for quite a little while he was sort of obviously casting around thinking what else he could ask her. And suddenly, and I have to tell you guys, you know, I didn't think about this beforehand. If I had, I might not have done it. But without even thinking, I just stood up and said, I bind this lying spirit in Jesus' name. And this girl, and so I said, now please go and get that money. And she just turned and she went into the bedroom and I followed her and she went under the mattress and she took this money out and she handed it to me. And I said, thank you, now we'd better go back inside. And then I handed it all over to the detective to sort it out because he was in charge. And anyway, when we'd eventually, of course, they sent her home. She was actually a very needy person. But they sent her home. But afterwards, this detective turned to me and he said, I have to say, in all my years, I have never done detective work like that. And I said, perhaps it could be a lot more effective if you did. Anyway, because we ask for light. Now, I know that's an unusual example. And as I say, I have to confess, I don't go around doing that all the time, though be warned, I could do any time, because I'm really just seeking to hear from God. And in this case, I also did not want this innocent young guy. The problem was he had actually demonstrated he had a bit of money the day before because he bought a nice present for his girlfriend, you see. But it turned out he brought that money with him. But you know how easily that kind of looked like a bit circumstantial. Suddenly he'd got some money. So anyway, that's what happened. And I really didn't want him to be accused wrongly. So I was seeking God, of course, because we can seek the light of the Lord, can't we? I've already mentioned that in the first page of the Bible, God said, let there be light, and there was light. You remember, throughout the pages, there is the whole theme of light. Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And it's obviously prophesying Jesus coming. We walk in darkness, but there's a great light in Jesus. In Matthew 2, early pages of the New Testament, the wise men saw a light in the east, the star that led them to Jesus. In John chapter 1, you remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He was the light, and the light was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I love that. I often think of that. When there's a lot of pressure around, a lot of oppression, a lot of darkness, I remind myself that light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. You can't switch on darkness, was what I meant. You can switch off light, but you can't switch on darkness. And the darkness will always be overcome by the light if there's light there. And so when we're walking in darkness, and sometimes we do, we're not sure of the way, or maybe things are going wrong and pressing in on us, and we desperately need the light of the Lord. We can ask him, can't we, for light? We can say, Lord, I need your light now to shine on my way. Show me what is the right thing to do here. Lord, we need to see your light shining, because the light shined in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. So in these verses, John is talking about light because he wants us to lay hold of God who is light. I was thinking that, you know, because he talks about if we say we know God and we walk, if we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not act according to the truth. Well, or do not practice the truth in some versions. So we need to have fellowship with God, but we can't do that if we're walking in darkness. I tell you what I was thinking, you know, about, I was thinking about the sun rising. Okay, we talk about the sun rising because the sun brings light on the earth, doesn't it? And I thought, how often we talk about the sun dawning on us, which is totally right, and we see the light coming. But what I was sort of trying to dig into the depths of my memory of physics from a long time ago, the very elementary kind, of course, that you learn in primary school, which is that the earth revolves around the sun, not the sun around the earth. Is that correct, David? I'm sure it is, but Is that correct, Roger? Yes. Thank you. But what I suddenly thought was, so it isn't that the sun suddenly dawns on us. It is that we as the earth turn into the sun. Is that not right? So what are we going to do this morning? We're not waiting for God to shine on us with some extraordinary light. We're waiting. God is waiting for us to turn into the light. And that's what we want to do. So we have the sunshine of his light and his love. And I remind myself of that if I feel a bit low. Do you ever feel a bit low? You know, in spirits. Low in spirits or low, everything seems to be getting on top of you or whatever. And I think, well, we just have to turn, don't we? And as we turn, we can enter into the light of God's love, the sunshine of his love. And we can do it. Sometimes we have to keep pushing ourselves. Is that right? Sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we might need to ask for somebody else to pray for us. I'm feeling a bit low, a bit in the darkness, a bit confused about this or a bit oppressed about that. Please help me to turn into the light. And when someone prays for you, it's like the light of the sun shining on you, isn't it? Do you feel that? When, you know, so often when I've been in pressures or problems, I know people have been praying for me and I can feel it. Can you feel prayer when it's there? I do. I feel it. I think, oh, someone's praying for me. Thank you, Lord. Bless them too. So let's keep praying for one another. But in John's epistle there, and in fact throughout the Word of God, it talks about light as being both the light of truth to illuminate what we're thinking, and also, it is the light of holiness, of righteousness, that we're going to walk in. That's why it talks about being in the light and it talks about walking in the light. Walking indicates the way we live our lives. So we want to live in the light. We want to be in the light of God because that will help us to see truth. One of the things that I love about the prayer community is the time we spend just listening to the Lord. It's only a few minutes. But we just pause, and we've learned, I think, I certainly have, to focus and to close off all other kinds of channels of thought and just to listen to God. Now, the reason we often have a little bit of strumming of guitar or playing the violin in the background is because that actually helps to shut out all the racing thoughts, you know. Did I turn the gas off when I left home? What did I do with my car? You know, all those kind of things that come to you as soon as you're not having to do something. And so in order to block those out, we sometimes have the musicians playing. But whatever, we just focus our minds on the Lord, just listening. You know, it doesn't matter if you don't actually hear something while you're listening. Sometimes we do, or we get a picture, and different people share things. But it doesn't even matter if you don't, because what you're doing is attuning your whole life to listen, isn't it? We're starting to turn into the light. Lord, we need your truth. I need your truth about me. I need your truth about my circumstances. I need your truth about my life, about my fellowship, about everything. I need truth about the way forward. So we're just listening to the Lord, and he may say different things to us, but we're attuning our hearts to listen. What we're doing is we're turning into the light and glorying in that light. And what John actually says about that in this passage, he has three times when he says, if we say this, but we do that, and then he gives us a warning. So there's three times he says, if we say, or if we claim. So we're going to look at what those three things are and what John actually says about it. So if we say we have fellowship with God, that's in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That verse, verse 7, I've always loved that because obviously we are involved in pastoral ministry. And in not only in pastoral ministry, but in our lives generally, you can often find that you don't really feel you're clicking with somebody. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean that you're just different personality types, but I mean there's no agreement in the spirit. You feel that you're not really having fellowship with them. Has anybody else ever experienced this? Thank you, Shirley. Thanks, all you honest people. Wonderful. There are times, well, Many years ago when I read that verse, I started a habit in my life. Now, sometimes I forget it, so you have to remind me if you notice. But sometimes I forget it, and I say to myself, okay, I'm not really having fellowship with that person. So according to the Word of God, that means that one of us or both of us are not walking in the light. Because if we're walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's what it says. So I've tried to make that a rule of thumb. I say, okay, not really clicking here. One of us or both of us are not walking in the light. So what's my responsibility? My responsibility is to go back and find if I'm walking in the light. And to literally go to the Lord and talk to him. Many years ago, we had somebody come and take up a position with us. And try as I might, I couldn't click with this person at all. And you know, the trouble is, when that happens, sometimes you start criticizing the person, don't you? Is that right? You think, well, you know, I really don't care for that personality or whatever it is. Anyway, you start going like that. But then one day I felt the Lord convicted me through this verse and said, you know, if you're not having fellowship, one of you isn't walking in the light, or both of you, so you better find out if it's you. Now, when I went back to the Lord to talk about it, I felt that God was saying, you're not walking in the light because you are not walking in love. You don't love this person at all. You're just criticizing him. And I thought, that is true, that is true, Lord. Please forgive me. So I went through all that till I could feel I could pray with joy for this person. And literally, not the next day, but within a few days, because we used to see this person frequently, he contacted and asked if he could come around and talk to Roger and me. And he did so. And then he poured out all sorts of issues in his life that he'd never cleared and sorted, and God had been convicting him of. Just, and I thought, it's extraordinary. As I talked, it was ever since I had got myself back into the light and in a place of love, then God was able to work on him as well. And we ended up having really, really good fellowship and agreements. And I thought, well, Lord, that's what's to do. So, you know, somebody in your house group not getting on with, well, you know what to do, don't you? First of all, you go and say, is my heart walking in the light? Am I with you, Lord? You're a God of love as well as light. And I need to be walking in the light. Then you can pray for them if there's anything that they need to sort, that they will do so. Okay, so that's one of my favorite verses out of 1 John, because we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's beautiful too, because it suggests that as you're in the light and I'm in the light and we have fellowship, and then you're in the light and we all come into fellowship with one another, we have a beautiful community of light, don't we? Of love and of light. And God's Son will cleanse us. That's what I love. It's almost like it will be happening as you do that. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But it also suggests creating a holy community. I don't mean a sanctimonious community. I don't mean a holier than thou. I mean a truly good community of people who love Jesus, love one another, and can reach out to the world in love. That's the kind of church we want, isn't it? That's what we want to be part of, because that's who God is. He wants his people to walk in the light together. So, what is the second if we say? Okay, I'm all right. Okay, the second if we say is in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Gosh, that's worrying, isn't it? Any of us want to walk in self-deception. But sometimes, when there's any problem and something's happened, we're very keen to declare that we are not to blame at all, whatever, for this. Even though, if we allowed the Holy Spirit to come in, he might say, no, of course you didn't cause that issue, but you have fed it in because your heart wasn't quite straight with me. Do you know what I mean? Like I've just told you that illustration, that you can still be, you think to yourself, well, I haven't done anything. There's no problem with me. I certainly haven't done anything there. But when we get into the Lord, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In other words, we are prone to sin. We need to be cleansed from sin continually, but we are prone to it. So better to acknowledge it before God and, if appropriate, before others. Lord, I'm just really sorry there. I'm sorry that I was impatient. I'm sorry I was thoughtless. I'm sorry I didn't think to ask after that. Whatever it is. Do you know the kind of thing? I'm sure you're still with me, guys, aren't you? You understand what we're saying. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I do not want to walk in self-deception, do you? I don't want to be deceived. Because I believe God wants us to walk in the light, like I was talking about that crazy illustration. But there are lots of times when we need to perceive what is there. We need perception. We need discernment. I believe we need that as people because we're living in an increasingly dark world. So we need to walk in the light so we have light around us and we can see by that light what is true. We can see how to pray. Because sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought, do we? Although unfortunately I wasn't able to be at the prayer day yesterday, but I'd organised with Ben that we should show that clip about North Korea, because I felt very burdened that we should be praying for North Korea and asking God to put a hedge around that man, put a wall of fire about him if necessary, because otherwise the whole world could start going up in smoke and lots of innocent people could be hugely damaged, and we have a responsibility to pray for our world. But we need discernment. We need to know how to pray, Lord. We need to know what to say, and we don't keep telling God exactly how to do it, because He very rarely takes much notice of my advice. I don't know if He takes your advice. He doesn't usually take mine. So, but we need to bring Him in on it. Let Him shine His light. Let Him show us the way forward. So we don't want to be self-deceived, because if we are, we won't have light shining about us and we will make wrong judgments. Wrong judgments can be very destructive to churches. Do you know that? I've seen it happen in churches where somebody has made a wrong judgment about a person or a situation, and it starts spreading like a disease, and then everybody starts judging the situation wrongly, and it's hugely destructive. What it is, it's because the person who started it was not walking in the light at that point, and then they appeal to other people, and it's so easy not to walk in the light, isn't it? It's so easy to follow what other people are saying instead of listening. Lord, I want to live in Your light. I want to see this as You say it. Give us wisdom, Lord Jesus. Give us light on these decisions we need to make. So we don't want to deceive ourselves, because we want the truth to be in us. The truth is light. And then it says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's the one we're looking at. But he goes on, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He will cleanse us. So if we feel, gosh, I didn't have any sin, and then we eventually, the Holy Spirit's trying to get in to say, actually, you did sin here, then we can be confident, because He says, I'm not going to hold against you for eternity. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and my sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's hope there as well, just as walking in the light. There was hope. There is hope here. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then if we say, this is the third if we say, or if we claim, whichever your version says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Gosh, that's serious to me, isn't it? It's bad enough I deceive myself. But if I'm trying to make God a liar, if God is saying, you have sinned, but I will forgive it, I will cleanse it, and I say, I haven't sinned at all, I'm all right, then we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. These are serious things to say, aren't they? God says serious things sometimes to us, because He wants us to walk in light, in love, in holiness, in goodness. So here, we have sinned. So Lord, yes, I am a sinner. But You have cleansed me, Lord. That's what you need to say. Yes, I have sinned, but the blood of Jesus, God's Son, has cleansed me from sin. We can walk in assurance that we are as free from sin as we can be this day, because we've asked Him to cleanse us, and we've asked us to help Him to help us to walk in His light. And that's why John finishes, actually the first verse, really the first two verses of chapter 2 are really part of all this. But because he says, I'm saying this to you about don't say you have no sin because you'll deceive yourself. Don't say you haven't sinned because you're trying to say that God's lying. But these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That's John's aim. I find that beautiful. I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There is hope, there is hope, there is hope. There's always hope. There's always cleansing. There's always forgiveness. There's always restoration. God is so gracious. He's full of light, but he's also full of love. We may dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love. And I'm going to pray for us now. And then I'm going to hand back to Steve. Okay? Let's just pause for a moment and let the light of the Lord shine on us. Lord, I know I speak for so many of my brothers and sisters here, Lord, in that we long to live more in your light, Lord. We want to live our lives day by day in your light. Lord, we pray that you would deliver every one of us from unrighteous judgments, wrong judgments. Will you deliver us, Lord, from walking in darkness, from walking in lack of fellowship because we will not walk in the light. Lord God, will you deliver us? Lord, where we have sinned, we pray for your forgiveness and your cleansing. We thank you that it's the blood of your Son, Jesus, that cleanses us from all sin. And we lay hold of that promise today so that our consciences can be before you, receiving more and more of your light. Lord, help us. I pray you'll help everyone here who's got decisions to make, Lord, perhaps about their work or about their life or about their relationships. Lord, I pray you'll shine light. Shine your beautiful light, Lord. It's so beautiful. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom, as the hymn writer wrote. Lord, I pray that you will lead us by your light. Help everyone to make those judgments, those decisions, those choices in the light. And Lord, I pray that you will just keep shining the beauty of your light upon us. Lord, if we've turned away from you and we're not walking in your light, help us to turn back. Help us to receive forgiveness and to turn just as the earth turns into the glorious orbit of the sun, so that we receive light and warmth and joy. Just give us to you now, Lord. Keep speaking to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.